to have a look, sure. please? If you can, it was supposed to... Okay. I hope it'll come soon. Our topic is building a lasting relationship with each of your children, but the real topic, that's the for public consumption. The real topic and the real issue that I'd like to address is how to get your kids. I mean, it's not a bait and switch. It is really about relationships, but the question is how to get your children to seek your guidance when they need it most. That's really, really what we're talking about. In other words, your children, as they go through adolescence and beyond, deal with stuff like everybody else. How can you get them to position yourself so that they come to you when they need help? Most people, I'm going to talk about barriers. Why is it that people are not inclined to seek the guidance of their parents? And we'll talk about what those barriers are and what you can do to see to it that the barriers don't exist. I'd like to open by just offering a thought. Think about the difference between a presentation on parenting. I had the pleasure and the honor of presenting in TNEC this morning at 10 o'clock. I made it here for... There were no landslide there. There were no Bell Harbor folks there. I grew up in Bell Harbor, for those who don't know. So, and there's a whole roster, beautiful roster there and here, all kinds of educators and rabbanim and professionals. So imagine you went to one of the presentations. I hope you'll feel like that here, but leave me out of this for a minute. Imagine you go to a presentation and you listen there for 5-10 minutes and you say, you know, this man and woman, they really get it. And I would love to find out a little bit more about their philosophy and child rearing and how I got this 3 teenagers coming up and I'd like to know, what do I need to know? And now, think of these 4 levels of interaction. Now, level number 1, which you'll all get, is a lecture. It's recorded here. If you weren't here, you can pick it up online. Okay, so a lecture is the presenter's thoughts. By definition, that's a generality. Presenters don't know your personal lives. And even if they do, they didn't know you were coming, so they didn't prepare it according to whatever specific questions you have. So a presentation, by its very nature, is very general. Then you have a Q&A session. The session ends early enough, the presenter says, all right, does anybody have any questions? Usually I'll try to finish early enough to do that, because that's a lot of times that's what the action is. That's really where you find out what's on people's minds, and you may have a similar thought to what somebody raised their hand and asked the question. So a Q&A is often a step better. It's more personalized than a general question. Okay? Than a general lecture, excuse me. How about if you stood up and you asked the question? That would be even more personal because it's something obviously that's on your mind. Now imagine if you had a presenter here that you really, really liked and you said, you know what, can I please have 10 minutes of your time? I'll take you out to Starbucks, treat you to take them to a nice steakhouse here. I'd like to schmooze with you. I'd like to discuss parenting. So that would be the 4th level, and that would be way better than any of the other 3. Because here, you have this person one-on-one. I'm not dropping a hint. I'm fine. I see you two talking to each other. I'm fine. I ate already. I'm good. So just think about the progression of things. You have a lecture, a question somebody asks, a question that you ask, and then a one-on-one. Now, let's project this onto our children. Our kids all hear lectures from us. Everybody's covered here, okay? If the objective is to get your kids to listen to a lecture that you've given, that I've given as a parent, my wife's given, my parents gave to me, you know, that we all do. So the question is, can you get yourself to level 4? And what are the barriers to that, and what can you do to overcome them? I think that's really what the presentation is about. What can you do to get yourself to a point where your child will come to you and say, you know, Dad, some of the kids are, you know, you're doing marijuana, so the kids are drinking on the weekends, it's getting, I want to know, what do you think about it? Is it really a problem? Some of the kids say that, you know, it's really no big deal, it's just like the alcohol, they don't ban alcohol, so what's a couple of drinks, you know, make a l'chaim? Is it really that bad? Do I need to know anything? So, imagine if you had the opportunity to find out that your kids were getting into trouble, and it could be, you know, it's also a progression. you know, a six-year-old is told that there's certain behaviors are expected in the playground. They go around and see other kids fighting. Hey, that's not what they were told. So who do they talk to about that? And a 10-year-old will come and see somebody cheating on a test. So all of these things happen. That's called what we call life. Life gets in the way of what they were taught. They were taught something, and now they find out that there's a Torah shebiksav and a Torah shebalpeh, right? There's a written Torah and an oral, and then there's stuff that goes on. And what they really want to do is they really would, I promise you, look, I've been dealing with children for over 30 years, and I was, all of those folks from Bell Harbor can tell you I was a very, very wild and restless kid. I was a horrible student in school, and I'm not being modest. Call my mother, she'll be glad to tell you. Is that true, Debbie? Okay. So, kids want to speak to you. They really would like your guidance. They really would like to be able to, doesn't mean they're always going to listen. Doesn't mean that as soon as you say something, they're going to say, okay, oh, I just heard from on high, and they're going to listen to what you say. But they would like your input. So why aren't they getting it? Or why would they be reluctant? I'm not saying they're not getting it. Why would they be reluctant to get it? Let's talk about barriers. What are the barriers why a logical, normal kid would be reluctant to talk to their parents? Go ahead.
They don't want to be lectured, too.
They don't want to be lectured. They got A already. They got the lecture, right? Okay, they don't want to be lectured. Anybody else? Go ahead.
They don't want to be told they're wrong.
They don't want to be told they're wrong.
Like lecturing
person. Okay. Go ahead. Anybody else? Think about it. Why would it? They don't want to be?
They don't want you to think badly of them.
They don't want you to think badly of them. They don't want to, okay. They don't want to think you to think badly of them. They don't want to be punished. How about another one?
They think they know a little bit more than you.
Or let's word that the way the kids would word it. What's your name?
Chedva.
Chedva. You say they think they know more than you. Let's word that differently, a little bit differently from the children. That's from your perspective. Okay? What would the kids say? Mom doesn't get it. Okay, Dad doesn't get it. I'd love to talk to them about it, but, like, they don't get it. So why would I waste my time asking advice from someone who doesn't get it? Okay, that's just a different way of looking at it. That's, you know, I was an 8th grade Rebbe for 15 years. I started my yeshiva 17 years ago, so I've been doing this 33 years. I've been dealing with teenagers. My wife will tell you that I'm still a teenager, but that's the way I've trained myself to think like an adolescent, so that's maybe why I have a different perspective. But you say they think we know, but they'll say, you don't get it. Like, I'm going to talk to you about what's going on and what's really going on in my life. You don't get it. You understand what's going on with the technology? I'll tell you, you know, do you really know what's going on? Okay? I'll tell you, so far we have, what were we all saying? That they don't want to be lectured. They don't want to be punished. They don't want you to think badly of them. They think you don't get it. They want to make their own decisions. Okay, but that doesn't, but that's a step further. They'll make their own decision after you give them their input also. Saying, why would they not want to access your input? Why would they not want to hear what you have to say? That doesn't mean, as I said earlier, that doesn't mean they're going to listen. My point to you is, wouldn't your children need guidance most when they're about to do something wrong, or when they see their friends are doing something wrong, or when everybody seems to be doing stuff? So what is it that you can do as a parent to access it? I'll tell you one more that I was surprised by myself. And so far we mentioned these things, right? They don't want to feel, they don't want to lecture, they don't want to get punished, they don't want to feel, you don't get it. I'll tell you a chiddush that I heard from the kids. They don't want to disappoint you. They don't want to upset you. And I got this information a long, long time ago when I first started dealing with teens at risk in a more serious way. I did a very informal study of 95 Orthodox Jewish boys from age 13 to 21. Some of the kids were the best Bachram in Lakewood, as they would say. And all the way across to kids who were no longer observant, who came from homes. And I asked them, I wrote a two-page questionnaire. You know, it wasn't a formal double-blind study. It was just Yankee and the kids. You know, I just wrote out a questionnaire and gave it to them. I asked them a number. It was very helpful to me to understand what was really going on. And I've done similar things over the years, not on that scale, but like I asked the kids, what do you think the five biggest problems facing children today are? How would you deal with, what would you advise a parent who complains to me, I'm Yankee, I need your help. What should I tell a parent when the parent says, my kid doesn't want to go to shul? What should I do if a parent says, my kid has bad friends? What advice would you give? The kids were amazing. It was really funny. It was, a lot of it was hysterical. The kids, the advice they get. Bad friend, don't even bother. Tell the parents to just, you know. Whatever. They had a very interesting advice about a lot of things. But one of the things I asked them, which is the subject, when I started doing this type of parenting class right away, about a month or two after I did this questionnaire, because it was so striking to me, I asked the kids the following question. You're about to do something wrong. To whom do you go to for guidance? Okay? You're about to do something wrong. To whom do you turn to for guidance? Anyway, we got a bright bunch of folks here. Number one answer was?
Friends.
Friends was number two. Not bad. Okay, number one answer was?
Mother.
What?
Mother.
Parents were number four. A Rebbe, a mentor, a counselor in camp, you know, a Mora, somebody. That was three. Number one answer, 40% said? Nobody. 40% of the kids said nobody. Parents were less than 10%. And then I started thinking to myself, so why? And this emerged, and then I said, you know, I really need to talk to parents about this. And that's really what we're here for, okay? So, we have all these barriers. You can be rest assured that if we don't deal with them, if we don't address them or eliminate them, or at least tone them down a bit, we probably won't get the kids. 4 out of 5 isn't enough, right? It's got to be all of them. We got to take care of, think about them, and address them openly and honestly. So let me talk to you about relationships first, not specifically as it relates to that, and then I'm going to talk to you about removing these barriers. Okay, Rabbi?
Yeah. It's how you present yadus to your children. In other words, you sit at the Shabbos table. If you keep saying, no, you can't, this is us, and but if you make the Shabbos table a positive
experience,
situation,
okay,
and they say the way the fathers and mothers are, midos and masim tovim are caught.
Okay, I believe that's very important. That there was a study done. I'm going to try to get back. We have a short time to finish my presentation. There was a study done. If any of you are interested, a woman did a doctoral thesis about 15 years ago. She lived in Harnof, and she had lots of. She was doing some of it online and some of it in school, and she had an idea for a doctoral thesis. She was saying, okay, who are my subjects? She had seminary girls all around. So she said, well, what can I do with seminary girls? So she wanted to connect their, ask them about their Shabbos experience at home and see how it related to their feelings about religion. And she gave the kids a lengthy questionnaire, which she called me, sent it to me. She ultimately emailed it to me. It was she asked them questions. What's Thursday night like at home? Describe Thursday night, Friday afternoon, Friday night, Shabbos afternoon, and just she gave them some pointers how to answer. I saw some of the responses. It was really amazing. Some of the kids wrote how everything is just so relaxed, and I smell the food, Shabbos food cooking, and everybody's starting to chill out and starting to. And a lot of kids wrote Nebuch about tension and stress and yelling and stuff, and. Then she asked them, after she collected this data, she asked them, how do you feel about religion? How do you feel about God? Do you plan on sending your children to the same types of schools that you went to? And there was a stunning correlation between the two, that the kids who had positive Shabbos experiences were extraordinarily more likely to maintain the same standards and the same religious observance that they had at home. So let me talk about relationships first for a few minutes, because I think it's key here. Just a few points, some of which are obvious and just maybe we ought to talk about, but some of them might be, hopefully I'll stimulate some thought in your minds. First of all, try to be there. Really try to just be there. I don't tell parents to do things that I can't do or I wouldn't do or tell you things that you won't do, but 3 minutes, 2-3 minutes, really try to shut it down when you're home with your children. When your kids come home, if you're there first or if you're out working and you come home after the kids, try to give them a couple of minutes to just really, really zone in and listen. I'm going to be speaking to you later, just for literally a minute or two, about child safety. This is a child safety book that we published to help prevent child abuse. And it's important for every arena of parenting, but especially in light of all that's going on about child abuse. One of the great predictor of children staying safe from predators are those kids who have tight relationships with their parents. Really much more likely to be able to exhibit defensive behavior, chas v'shalom, when they're approached by a predator. But just be there, make eye contact, really listen to what your kids say. How many times do we say, "So how was your day?" You know, we get off on our own little thing. I encourage parents. I'd like to try to give you some practical takeaways. If you're doing one or two things as a result of the talk, I hope you'll be inspired to try something. Try asking your children a targeted question rather than a general one, meaning, ask them a question when you see your kids at the when they come home, when you come home, even with adult children, you're on the phone with them or you communicate with them. Try to ask a question that I couldn't ask. Meaning, if you ask your children a general question like, "How was your day?" Don't be disappointed or upset if they say, "Run up to their room." Okay? I often get this appearance. I say, "Rabbi Horowitz, you said I should spend time with my kids. I have a 15-year-old daughter. She comes home from school. I say, 'How was your day, sweetheart?' And she's like, 'Whatever.' She runs up to the room." Right? So you say, like, well, what? Let's analyze this. What does it mean when you tell someone, "How are you?" I just met Ezra here. We haven't seen each other in a long time. We're old Bel Harbor landslide.
Young
Bel Harbor landslide. Thank you. Thank you, Rabbi. I just met him. I said, "How you doing?" You know what "how you doing" means? "How you doing" is hello. Now imagine if he tells me, I said, "How you doing?" He says, "Well, actually, I have this fungus in my foot. It's making me nuts." You're like, "What?" So if I ask him and he tells me, he says, "You're not going to believe it. I parked my car and this branch fell on it." "What are you kidding? I just said hello to you." I really don't want to know when I say, "How you doing?" I do want to know. You're an exception. No, I'm saying, when you say, in America, when you say, "Hi, how are you?" it doesn't mean, "Tell me about your life." It means hello. So if you ask your kids, "How are you?" Is an appropriate answer. Okay, is an appropriate. It's not an indication that you want to talk to that person. So if I ask him, "How's your mom and dad doing?" That's a personal question. "I hear your dad's not well. Tell me about it," right? So that's my mom. My mother keeps, by the way, my mother keeps us informed about all the Bell Harbor folks, Besindit and Swanson. So just understand, here's the assignment. Really, I really encourage you to try this. Try it. If you're not doing it, try it for a couple of weeks, a month. Don't try to change yourself overnight. It's not going to happen. You'll just get frustrated. Take an idea or two. Try to develop it. Try to ask your kids a targeted question. "How was your chemistry exam? Did you make up with Aviva? Did you two settle it between the two of you? How did it work out? Did you Chavrusa come back at the end from his trip?" And that question is really a compliment. It means, "I know who you are. I was listening the last time you told me something. And I have a file open in my brain for you because I love you." How many of us, I had the great schus to have Rav Pam Zatzal as a Rebbe, is just as close to a malach as I've ever seen. And just, you know, you went to him, you spoke to him. I hadn't seen him in 3 months. You sat down, he would ask you what happened the last time you were there. And I said, like, "Oh my God, how does this man remember?" So that is the greatest compliment there is. Try to do this. Try to ask your kids a targeted question, a follow-up question, a question that's a compliment. One final note to grandparents. Baruch Hashem, we joined the club 7 years ago, Kanahara. It's a great club. If you're a grandparent, understand your role. Understand that you have something, a role to play in your grandchildren's lives. And I think many of us as grandparents this little piece might evade us, and I just encourage you to think about it. Parents are a blend of rachamim and din, mercy and judgment. They put away money for summer camp, they put away money for college, they make your favorite food, they do this, they also tell you to brush your teeth and not chew with your mouth open and stay away from bad friends and fight around with the children about different things that they need to enforce curfew and stuff. Grandparents, that's what rocks about grandparenting. You don't have to do any of this stuff. All you do is spoil your grandchildren. Now, you might say that that's not good for the development. It's the best thing in the world. They have a relationship with someone who loves them, that's always going to be there, that doesn't have to discipline them. It is the most amazing thing. Parents, if you're having difficulty with your teenagers, send them to your parents or your in-laws if they're alive. I promise you it's the most soothing. I really mean it, by the way. I'm not messing around. I really advise this to parents. When things get so stressful, there was a couple of brothers. there was just horrible tension going on. I used to tell the mom once a week to make like a package and put old newspapers in there and tell them, please bring this to Bobby, it's very important. Then you know, call the mother, the ma, you know, Yitzi's coming over, just make his chocolate chip cookies for him. And you know, it's so soothing for children whose lives are tarnished to have. So grandparents, don't take advantage of this role that you have. You play an enormously important role in your children's lives. So let's talk about barriers. I don't think I'll have too much time for questions, but let me at least get through this. Let me talk about the barriers. We spoke earlier, for those who came a little later, we spoke about the issue of why, how important it is to have your children seek your guidance, why they need it so badly, specifically when they're in trouble, when they're about to do something wrong, when their friends are doing things wrong, when life around them is happening not the way it was scripted when they were in Mora Tzipora's class, and they told them how everybody's, you know, doing everything right, and all of a sudden they grow up and they see kids are doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing, and they're trying to figure this out in their heads, and they may be themselves tempted by it. And another thing that's very important is to listen to the I call it trial balloons. The kids kids rarely get into trouble without warning you. We often don't hear what they're saying. We don't understand what they're saying. And when they say things like, you wouldn't believe, Mom, what some of the kids in my class are doing. Or in a younger kid, Mommy, were you ever sent to the principal's office? You know, all of these things are questions that they're hoping that they don't have the guts to come and tell you, I got kicked out of class today. So they say it in a general sense. They'll tell you, oh my, this dad, you know, there's a lot of drinking going on in the community here. And that means your son may have gotten drunk last Friday night and doesn't know what to do right now. So these trial balloons, listen to them very, very carefully. Listen, I mean, don't become a forensic investigator when you talk to your kids, but just keep your ears open. Keep your ears open to what they're saying. Very often, they're uncomfortable really coming out with it, and they use language like this to get this message across to you. So listen carefully and understand. And also, you're their parent. You don't need to be their friend. I've spent 30 years begging parents to be friendly with their children and to listen to them, to be progressive, to come, you know, not to discipline in harsh ways. But you're their parent. You need to keep that balance that I spoke about rachamim and din. They need curfews. They need boundaries. They don't do well when they grow up without this. It's very important that you do, obviously, with love and with care, but to see to it that you do it. And I'm telling you that parents, the children appreciated it. They won't tell it to you. They'll never thank you for it. Trust me. Thank you so much for that curfew. You know, I really appreciate it. But deep down, they know that it's for their good. And I'll never forget years and years ago, a young lady, I was speaking to a young lady. She was bitterly complaining to me that she was the only one in her class, only one of her friends, that did not have a curfew. And I thought, I said, what? I thought I heard wrong. I said, you're the only one that has a curfew? She says, no, I'm the only one that doesn't have a curfew. So what she said, she started crying bitterly that I'm out at night with my friends and everybody's calling their mom or their dad and I'm the only one that doesn't have to call in. And my parents say they trust me, but they're really just busy. So suck it up and keep at it. Let's talk about your barriers. So as I see it, you need to get it. Again, my thesis for this whole thinking, this talk is that children would like to seek your guidance. They don't when there are barriers to it. If they feel you don't get it, if you're going to punish them, if you're going to give them a lecture, if you're going to even be disappointed, they don't want to upset you. One of the cutest things I heard from one of the kids. I asked him, you know, why don't you go talk to your parents? He was getting into a lot of trouble. He says, my mom is such a wonderful lady. She's like really nice. I love her so much. She says, you get so upset about these things whenever I tell her something. I try telling her some stuff. And like whenever she sees I'm doing something that's not right, she goes like this. And takes out a tillum. I swear to you. She takes out a tillum. I said, like, why should I upset her? What do I make her feel? I love her. You know, like, what, you know. Okay, so first of all, you got to get it. No, I'm sorry? Who said they liked that one? You like that? What do you know? You think about it from the kid's perspective. You don't think of it like them. They love you. They don't want to hurt your feelings. They don't want to make you upset. So therefore, one of the things I always tell parents, we always told this to our kids, I always did anyway, if there's something going on in your life, I want to know, even if it's going to upset me. You really got to do this. Tell it to the kids, as we say in yeshiva, speak the fairness. Speak this out to them clearly. Sweetheart, if there's something going on in your life, we love you, we want to know what's going on, even if it's going to upset us, I would rather know than have to deal with this on your own. Okay? So make sure you get it. Make sure you get it. If you're my age and your children are out, we have 4 out of 5 out of the house, Kanahara. I feel like getting a bumper sticker. You know, we survived adolescence, our kids' adolescence. And we have a 19-year-old Kanahara. She just got back from Eretz Yisrael, 18, whatever. So in a year or two from now, I could be clueless. If I stop giving these classes and I close Project Yes, I have a shus to be totally clueless. And when I see friends of mine, I say, oh, what's with these kids? Texting, schmexting. What's with Facebook? What? Yeah. Nobody talks anymore, blah, 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 blah. I could do all of that and be clueless and everything's fine. Okay? If you have small kids at home, you can't think like that. You have to understand technology. You better know what's going on with the kids. You better understand today's technology because today's is different than yesterday's and tomorrow is going to be different than today. And if you don't know, get a Rebbe or get a Mora. Find someone in the neighborhood who's hip, maybe 10 years younger than you, who's just starting out. Find a teacher, someone who gets it. You know who gets it. Find someone who gets it and say, explain this stuff to me. What's the difference between Facebook and this? And what's this new thing coming out with the whatever? I don't want to say new because I'm probably dated. I'll say something that was 2 days ago. Okay? You must understand this. Really understand it. And understand that this whole banning business is ridiculous. It doesn't work. It never worked. It never will work. You certainly should set guidelines in your homes, but to really get to understand what's going on in the children's lives, to be able to set those boundaries, the prerequisite to all of this is that you get it, that you understand how exciting this is, how interesting it is, how the reason that kids are so extraordinarily into technology or anything else for that matter. Discuss, don't lecture. Think of the attorney-client privilege. We have this in Talmudic terms. The Gemara says, a pesha asur, a pesha hita. If you introduce something as evidence, it can't be used against you. Think of having a rule like this in your house. If you tell me something, sweetheart, we won't punish you for it. We'll talk about it. We might change some rules as a result, but I'm not going to let you, and I'm not going to punish you. I'd want to listen. Because if you really think about it, if you don't do these things, your children really are not being parented in this area, whatever area that is. They're really on their own. And I say the hardest thing for last, which I encourage parents to do, and I encourage you to think about it. It's a shift in thinking. If you are going to be this type of parent, if you're going to be the 10% that the kids open up to, I encourage you to think about introducing a third set of rules at home, a third set of characteristics or guidelines. Typically, when a child asks us, is this okay, we have an answer, yes or no. Okay? If you're really going to be that type of parent, that the kids are, it's all good. Sweetheart, I want you to come talk to me. Please tell me whatever's going on in your life. Okay, Ma, you know, I got toasted last weekend, you know. Or I'm watching, you know, I haven't been telling you this, Ma, but I've really been downloading, you know, whatever it is, and you haven't known about it. I've been doing this for 2 years. I have an addiction problem. What happens then? What happens when they tell you, say, tell me what you're downloading, and they tell you, and you start, like, going like this, as you should. So I think you need a third category. Yes? No? We're not happy with this, but we're going to allow you to do it because we're talking about it. Because I found that it doesn't work if you don't have that category. In other words, if you're telling your children, you can have the internet, and especially if you have an older child or an older teen, and you say, and you set up certain guidelines, and you say, I want to know what you're downloading, I want to know who you're interacting with, and then they tell you, okay? So there has to be some, if it's only yes or no, you're going to wind up saying no a lot, and then they're going to stop telling you. One of my friends got kicked out of yeshiva for 2 weeks when we were in high school. because he told the Rosh Hashiva he did something wrong, and he told the Rosh Hashiva called him on it. He says, well, what did you do? He says, Rosh Hashiva, one thing I found out about this place, it's a lot easier to ask for mechila than it is to get reshus. It's easy to ask forgiveness than to get permission. So if the kids feel this way, it was a great line. He said it was worth the 2 weeks. He was very, you know, it was helpful to him to get it out of his system. So if you're giving your children reshus, you really, sometimes you can't give them permission because it really doesn't meet with your standards. But if you do develop this third category, say, look, we're really not okay with this, but we're going to allow you. What that allows you to do is really have a dialogue with them, and then chas v'shalom, if something comes up that you're really unhappy with, you still have a no in your pocket that you haven't been able to use until then. And it's a different type of parenting. I must tell you, it's different than the way our parents raised us, for sure. But it's a very different world, and you need a different set of tools and a different set of skills because life is much more complicated and much more challenging. I'm going to speak to you about child safety for a few minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, very briefly. I've been writing about abuse, about child abuse prevention, that is, for 12 years now. When I first started writing about it, people thought I totally and completely lost my mind. When I wrote it's the biggest reason kids are going off the derech, and it's the biggest reason for drug use and suicides and all of that stuff. Unfortunately or fortunately, Baruch Hashem, we've come to understand, unfortunately because it took a lot of tragedy to get us there, but we understand that it's a real issue and it happens everywhere and that we need to talk about it. And research shows that the most effective way to stop it is by speaking to your children. There are 4 basic safety messages. Your body belongs to you. No secrets from parents, good touching, bad touching. No one has the right to make you feel uncomfortable. This is not a session on child safety, although every parenting class I've done in the last number of years, I spend at least a minute or two talking about it. If you go on our website, it's kosherjewishparenting.com or rabbihorowitz.com. We have tons of resources that are free. If you go to YouTube, or if you just Google my name or child safety, we just released, about a year ago, we released 3 short 4-minute videos that explain the Torah Shebaal Peh, why it works, how it works, that it works, and what you need to do to speak to your children. Please do so. If you're interested, we published this book a little less than 3 years ago together with Art Scroll. It's a child safety book. It's not, you know, it's bad form for me to tell you, please get something that I did. So there's free stuff that you can get besides for this. That's fine. But I really, if you don't have it at home and your children don't have it, please get it for them. At the old Judaica stores, I have a few samples here. They're $10 each. It's really, we did it because it's an effect. We sold, Baruch Hashem, over 25,000 of them. And we've got numerous, I can't even count the number of emails and calls we got from parents whose children, whose lives are mamish saved because the kids knew what to do. We just published it in Yiddish now. Going to Eretz Yisrael tomorrow, we're working on an Ivrit version, actually 2, one Hasidish version and for Dati Lumi, because it's very, this, by the way, we published it in Yiddish, it's called Zay Gezint, and I promise you, if you want to check, I want to make like a contest to find the differences between the books. It's a lot of fun. No, the idea is really that it's supposed to be culturally congruent, where the kids look at it and see that it's their lives. So, but please, I'm begging you, please take it seriously and have these conversations with your children. You know, the very nature of child safety is it's so disgusting and it's so hard. You can't imagine that human beings do this to children, but they do, and the only thing that works is education. The reason that it works is because when children know what standards are, they know when something is different. Everybody would know, if you had a Shabbos guest, if you invited me to your house, and I took off my shoes and socks and put my bare feet on the table, how old would a child of yours have to be to know that that's really weird? 3? 2.5? They would all start giggling because they know that this is not the way people behave. If I put my hand in a soup, you know, and there are certain things. Who taught them this? It's called cultural norms. Children in our community very often don't know that there are bad people in our community too, because we teach them that Baruch Hashem, everybody's murdered, and therefore they don't understand that bodies belong to you and nobody's allowed to take you in a car by themselves. So teaching the children the basics of these things are so incredibly effective. The research shows that one conversation with children about these issues with a moderate amount of follow-up makes them 6 to 7 times more likely to exhibit defensive behavior. So please have these conversations. Go home and feel empowered to get your children to confide in you when they need it most. And last thought, our daughter had the most amazing high school principal, and she came home last year before, 2 years ago, she came home when she was a senior, before Shani Yom Kippur. Her principal spoke to the girls about change and improvement, and she said, everybody, she called the seniors in separately, and said, everybody take a piece of paper and write down what you're going to try to do differently this year. And everybody wrote, so she gave them a couple of minutes, and then she said, okay, now take a quarter of that, take a quarter of the Kabbalah, the thing that you made for yourself, and then divide it in half. Now go ahead and do that. So I would tell you that as parents, take whatever you're thinking from this whole day that you've tried to gather and glean and think, take it, divide it, take a quarter of it, divide it in half, take little pieces of things that you'll try to improve, and Hashem should give you mazel and bracha. Thank you for listening, everybody. Thank you. How you doing? I saw you like that rishus and what's that? I'm a Horowitz. I'm a Horowitz Scranton. I'm from that family. What's your name, please? Oh, man.